with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
That very day, the first day of the week, two of Jesus' disciples were going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus, and they were conversing about all the things that had occurred. And it happened that while they were conversing and debating, Jesus himself drew near and walked with them, but their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" They stopped, looking downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, said to him in reply, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know of the things that have taken place there in these days?" And he replied to them, "What sort of things?" They said to him, "The things that happened to Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, how our chief priests and rulers both handed him over to a sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel. And besides all this, it is now the third day since this took place. Some women from our group, however, have astounded us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came back and reported that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who announced that he was alive. Then some of those with us went to the tomb and found things just as the women had described, but they did not see. And he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophet spoke. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer those things and enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them what referred to him in all the scriptures. As he approached the village to which they were going, he gave the impression that he was going on farther. But they urged him, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. And it happened that, while he was with them at table, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. With that, their eyes were opened and they recognized him, but he vanished from their sight. Then they said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us?' So they set out at once and returned to Jerusalem, where they found gathered together the 11 and those with whom them were saying, 'The Lord has truly been raised and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two recounted what had taken place on the way and how it was made known to them in the breaking of the bread." The Gospel of the Lord.
Good morning to all of you. I'd like to invite those who are going to be confirmed to please stand. All right. So I've been so excited about this because it's not every day that the pastor gets to do confirmation for the children at his own parish and his own school. Usually it's the bishop or the bishop's delegate who does the confirmation. But since last year Bishop made me the dean of the central deanery, I'm now the delegate. So I get to do confirmation for our school children. I'm excited about it. I know so many of our children are excited about it. And this is one of my favorite parts right now, where I can look in their faces and I see the excitement that they have because they know that something is about to come rushing into their lives. The Holy Spirit is about to come and flood them. But even more than that, they know that they're about to taste for the very first time the bread of life. And Jesus said, "If you eat this, you will live forever." And so I want to invite all these children making their first confirmation to turn around and let everybody else see that beautiful face, that excitement that they have. Because you know what, brothers and sisters, we should look like this every time we come to Mass. Because God wants to give us anew his Spirit, and God wants to pour his love into our hearts. And so we should have the same enthusiasm and excitement every time we come to Mass. Amen?
Amen.
All right, thank you for helping me, and I'll invite you now to be seated. As Bishop's delegate, Bishop asked me to read a letter to you. Since Bishop is very busy, he has so many parishes that he goes to that he has delegates help, but he wants to be here, and he's here in spirit, and he's indeed praying for all of you. And he asked me to read you this letter. So this is a letter to you, to all of you who are going to be confirmed from your bishop. He says, "The Holy Spirit, the gift from on high that the apostles receive on Pentecost, is given to you in this sacred liturgy. What an amazing gift you are receiving. Equally amazing is the gift of Jesus, the Son of God, whom you will receive in your first Holy Communion. The Holy Spirit brings to perfection the grace of baptism in you. He strengthens you to resist temptations of the devil and to lead a life of virtue. When you do this with joy, you will bear witness to Christ within your family and among your friends. When you receive Holy Communion, you are united more closely with Jesus, who died on the cross to save us and who rose from the dead to give us new life. He is the bread of life. Whoever eats this sacred bread will live forever. As you are confirmed and as you receive your first Holy Communion, may you experience God's love even more fully than ever before. Love him in return and serve him with a joyful heart. Assuring you of my prayers and best wishes, I am sincerely yours in Christ, Thomas J. Olmsted, Bishop of Phoenix." That's the end of Bishop's letter. Okay, now I get to say a few words. This story of the Emmaus story is a great story for us today for this confirmation. In the story of the Emmaus, we hear about these disciples who are sad. They are disappointed. Maybe you could say even depressed. They are leaving Jerusalem, and they are going to a city or a village called Emmaus. And why are they sad, disappointed, depressed? It's because Jesus died on the cross. And these disciples did not believe the words that the women had spoken to them, that Jesus was raised from the dead. They didn't believe the women. And so they were depressed and they were sad. They were going away from Jerusalem. And the gospel says that Jesus approached them, but they were prevented from recognizing Jesus. It's not that their eyes were full of tears and they couldn't see clearly who it was. It's not that Jesus looked so different that they didn't recognize. It says they were prevented. So God was going to teach them something beautiful. And so he says to them, you know, "What are you guys so sad about, or what are you talking about?" And they said, "Are you the only person who doesn't know what's going on here?" You know, he's like, "What are you talking about? Jesus, what do they call Jesus? A prophet. Was Jesus a prophet? He was much more than a prophet. He was the Son of God." And so you can see these disciples have begun to lose their faith, and they're walking away from the other disciples, and they're leaving Jerusalem. Now, Emmaus, this little village called Emmaus, researchers have searched for it and not found it. So some say it's a city that doesn't exist, and therefore these disciples were on the path to nowhere. And what do we hear in the responsorial psalm? "You will show us a path of life." What is the path of life? Jesus. And so because they weren't believing in Jesus, they were on the road to nowhere. They were on the road to Emmaus, a road to nowhere. And this stranger who was Jesus began to tell them all about how Jesus was referred to in the Old Testament and how Jesus fulfill all the prophecies of the Old Testament. And their hearts started burning inside them as Jesus opened the scriptures to them. And then when they got close to their destination, Jesus pretended he was going to go farther, but they told him, please stay with us. And they had dinner, and then they recognized Jesus. How did they recognize Jesus? In the breaking of the bread, right? In the Mass, the first Mass after the Last Supper, they recognized Jesus in the breaking of the bread, and he vanished from their sight. And then it's interesting what happened, because it was already late, and they were worried this guy who they didn't recognize was Jesus, that he was going to keep going farther. And said, it's late, you should stay with us. And what happened? It says they immediately got up, and they went back to Jerusalem. They made the 7-mile journey back to Jerusalem. Now they are on the path of life because now they believe in the resurrection. They have seen Jesus. They believe now that he is the Son of God, and they're on the path to life. And so they can't contain themselves anymore, and they go straight back to Jerusalem. It's interesting, later in the Gospels we hear about Peter, and he's proclaiming Jesus in Jerusalem, and the Pharisees and the priests tell him to stop talking about Jesus. And he says, we can't. We can't stop talking about Jesus. This is so important, so beautiful, such a victorious message for all, that we can't not talk about Jesus. Even if you were to kill us, we can't stop talking about Jesus. And you see that spirit in these disciples. They can't go to bed, even though they're tired. They have to go back to Jerusalem to tell everybody what just happened to them, that they saw the risen Lord. And so it is with each of you. As you come to see Jesus now for the first time, as you receive Holy Communion, the breaking of the bread, you are called to go out into the world and to be messengers to proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ in your own life and how Jesus is there for all of us, that he is risen from the dead and he's with all of us. You know, our brothers and sisters in the Middle East, Catholics, they experience all sorts of persecution in this day and age. We hear about the Coptic Catholics in Egypt, the in Iraq, the Chaldeans and the Syrian Catholics, and they have a very special saying in this season of Easter when they greet one another in the streets. They say to each other, Jesus is risen. And the other person responds, he is truly risen. And it brings them great joy because they know that no matter what they suffer, the victory is already theirs. The victory is already theirs. And so if we don't believe in Jesus as the Son of God, if we think that he's just the prophet, then we're on the road to nowhere. But if we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, we are on the path of eternal life, and we are already victorious. No matter what you may experience in life, you are already victorious. Now, how many of you know Mr. Parks? All right, for those of you who don't, Mr. Parks is our religion teacher at St. Thomas the Apostle. But how many of you know Father Parks, his brother? He was over at the house last night, and we were talking about this Emmaus reading, and he reminded me of a great story, the first marathon that was ever run. And Philippides was a professional runner, and people would pay him to run and deliver messages. And the Greek people were fighting a great battle. We fight a great battle in our life against sin, trying to live God's virtues in our lives. We're fighting a great battle. Well, the Greeks were fighting a great battle with the Persians, and they were outnumbered 4-1. So can you imagine, like, for every 1,000 soldiers the Greeks had, they have 4,000 more. And so the Greeks were very worried. They thought they were going to lose this battle, but they were victorious. And the people in the city of Athens were so afraid, you know, what was going to happen to them. Well, the general paid Philippides to run 26 miles as fast as he could, nonstop. And he made the run all the way from the little city of Marathon, all the way to Athens. And after he made this amazing run, he died from exhaustion, I think. I know I probably would only have made a half a mile. But he went the 26 miles, and the last words out of his mouth, "Rejoice, we are victorious." This is what each of us who believe in Jesus as the Son of God are called to do. No one can stop us from proclaiming the message because we're so excited, so enthusiastic that the victory has been won for us. Jesus is raised from the dead. And no matter what happens to you in life, you are victorious. You have eaten, you will eat the bread of life. You will receive the promise that Jesus gave. If you eat my flesh, if you drink my blood, you will live forever. You rejoice. He is risen. You are victorious. I want to share with you a story, because as you go out to proclaim Jesus' resurrection by the way you live your life, we are called to give ourselves over completely to God. And so I want to share with you one of my favorite stories, and I think some of you have heard this story before, but please let me tell it again, because I love it myself. The story I got from my friend, Monsignor Bui, who originally was from Vietnam, so I think the characters in there may be Vietnamese, and it's a story about a beggar. And this beggar would beg for food or what monies he could get. And when the people got tired of seeing him, he would move to another village and start all over begging. Well, one day he was traveling on the road, and he heard the sound of distant trumpets. And he looked to see what was coming, and he saw flags and banners and horses. And then he saw this huge decorated carriage. And he knew what it meant. The king was coming down the road that he was standing on. And he thought to himself, "Oh, goody, today I get to beg from the king. And he doesn't have little pennies. He has gold coins. Whatever he will give me will be very valuable." And he says, "I can't believe how lucky I am. I'm going to get an opportunity to beg something from the king." And so the procession grew closer and closer, and he became more and more nervous. What would the king look like? Would the king give him a chance to speak? And so he was dumbfounded, standing by side the road as the column went by, and then to his amazement, the carriage stopped right there in front of him along the road, and soldiers circled around him to protect the king. And then the curtain opened in the carriage, and the king's head came out, and he held out his hand. He said, "What gift do you have for your king?" And he said to himself, "Oh, wretched." My friend Father Peter, he's the only person I know who used that word, wretched. He said, "Oh, wretched, he asked me first. He begged from me. How can the king beg from me? He has everything. What does he need from me? I should ask him." But he was afraid the soldiers maybe would hurt him. So he decided, "I better give something to the king." So he opened his little sack, and inside he found a little bag of white rice, and he took out three kernels, and he said, "This won't hurt too bad." And he dropped the three kernels in the hand of the king, and the king said, "Thank you." And he closed the curtain, and off went the king. And he said, "Oh, wretched, I lost my chance to beg something from the king." Well, later that evening, he set up his camp, and he wanted to cook a meal, and he boiled some water to cook his rice. But when he opened the bag of rice, to his astonishment, on the very top, there were three kernels of rice that had become pure gold. And he said to himself, "Oh, wretched, I should have gave him the whole bag." We are all that beggar in life, and God is our King. He asks you to give him the gift of your life, your service to him, to your family, your brothers and sisters, your neighbor. God asks you to give him the gift of your life. And even I'm a priest, even I said, "Okay, I won't get married. I'll devote my whole life to God and be a priest. I'll tell you what, I have a feeling when I see God, I'm going to say, oh, wretched, I should have given you so much more of my life. And I think it's going to be true for all of us. You can never give God too much of yourself because he always outdoes us in generosity. And so I hope that you remember this story as you receive your confirmation and God strengthens you to be courageous. No matter what happens in life, Jesus is risen. You are victorious. I pray that you will always desire to give a gift to God in the way that you love him, in the way that you love those around you. And we become witnesses of the presence of Jesus, his resurrection in our lives. Amen. I'll invite those to be confirmed to please stand, and we're going to renew our baptismal promises.